I also added water to this, and again, water did not change these. Most of these bourbons, water's not changing today, so.
It's interesting, right?
It is interesting.
Yeah, it often does.
Often it does. It's
the luck of the draw.
Yeah. Well, it's you never know. Again, your worst case scenario is it waters it down, fine, sip it back, and pour another glass. That's your worst case scenario. Your best case scenario is it alters it fundamentally, and it makes it that much better. But it's usually somewhere in between. But, you know, once in a while, you know, give it a shot. So
I mean, I'm not an ice drinker, but if I were, none of these would be negatively affected by a cube or two.
No, no.
So if that's you, go for it.
Now, I enjoyed the nose on this because it's, like he said, it's kind of like brandied fruit or stewed fruit. Plums and raisins. And it's got a nice nose to it. On the palate, on the palate, it's like a dark, dusty oak. This one also drinks kind of like a, like an older, dusty whiskey. But it's definitely, it tastes like it came from somewhere, you know, way down low in the rickhouse. There's a dark burnt toffee to it. There's a little bit of a tobacco leaf, a little bit of sort of a cigar box kind of,
Yeah, flavor. That's that other flavor that I'm not, that was kind of coming out at me, you know, the tobacco leaf that I really didn't pick up on right away.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, it's this, honestly, this tastes like a tobacco barn, you know, old, dusty tobacco leaves curing and hanging from the ceiling. This is like going into a Kentucky tobacco barn for me. But it's definitely interesting. I mean, I'm enjoying
it. It's not to the point where it's a geek whiskey. Mm. It's not that at all, mm-mm, you know, so.
But it's not a standout.
Right. This is probably the most interesting whiskey that we have here today, that we're doing for this show. This is probably the one that's polarizing in all directions that everybody can talk about. You know, and everybody
that's great.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There are going to be people that are ambivalent about it. There are going to be people who are going to taste it, who are going to love it, and everybody in between. So, is there anything wrong with it? No, it's a well done whiskey. It's something that some people are going to like and some people are not. So we'll be back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just finishing up our final thoughts on the Hirsch, the single barrel double oak bourbon release number 2. So I think we've all pretty much said everything we were looking to say, so we're going to give that a rating of 3 sips.
Interesting.
So that takes us to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Brent tell us all about that one.
Thanks, Bob. This next one's the Angel's Envy Cask Strength Bourbon, the 2023 release. It's 59.1% ABV or 118.2 proof. The color, the Angel's Envy color is always a little bit brighter, it kind of seems, than most of your bourbons. It always seems a little, a little more on the 80-ish penny side than some of your darker bourbons. Most of the time. Now, so they have a couple that are dark, but this is not one of them. So on the nose, I got a creamy strawberry nose to it, cherries, marshmallows, just beautiful nose, and on the palate, just follows through. It's just a creamy, creamy mouthfeel. It's, I got some, the marshmallow on it. Let me go back here again. Oh, yeah, that strawberryness comes through. The, yeah, cherries, just the nose and the palate on this one really match very well together. There's one and the same almost. And when you drink this one, this is not like drinking 118 proof. This is, you feel like you're drinking like a 90 proof or something like that. You'll be fooled when you taste it because it, I don't know that I've had anything like from them that's this creamy. Usually you get that, you know, a little bit of a punch to it, you know, and you're like, yeah, that's what my cast strength is like. And they didn't do that for this one. So, Maury?
Yeah, I agree with you, Brent. It didn't taste like cast strength at all. It drank like a very low-proof whiskey. It did not drink like 118. It was more like candy. For me, I got everything you said. I got the creaminess. I got really a lot of marshmallow and a hint of strawberry. And like I said, it was fun. It was interesting. It was candy. But it was not like, it didn't drink like the expensive, high-end, hard-to-find whiskey that it really is. And so I thought it was good. And I enjoyed it. But compared to what I'm used to and what I've had before on these cask strength bourbon, it didn't taste like either cask strength. It didn't taste like a traditional bourbon. It didn't have a lot of the bourbon spice that you'd come to know and love from a cask strength bourbon. It was just like a fun little everyday whiskey.
It was right. It didn't stand out as being like this punchy go at you kind of cask strength.
Right,
very different from every other cask strength that they've had.
Not knowing the price, I'm thinking this drink's like a $30-$40 bottle, but it's probably a $250 bottle. And for that, I think, you know, you're just expecting something different.
Yeah, this is the very first year that I didn't get one of their cask strengths, but I've had every other year since 2012 that I have. And this is the first one that, to me, is not like one of these is not like the others. And this
is it. I agree with you completely. Yeah. We're on the same page. Justin, what do you think?
So when I first poured this, I couldn't get much of a nose out of it, but it was like sweet and woody with elements of tart, and it tasted like a Madeira finished product, even though it probably isn't. And mouthfeel, it really reminded me of Cream of Kentucky. Either one of the two releases that I've had.
Mm.
And it was a sweet and spicy finish. After air and water, I got a lot more spice out of it. I got a lot more intensity. Not more complexity, but more intensity. So I thought it was fine. What'd you think, Bob?
I enjoyed it. I mean, it's different than what you're used to, but I don't let that bother me. All I care about what's in the glass I'm drinking right now. So. Oh,
very enjoyable drink.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong there. It's not
unusual.
Yeah, right. It's completely off the radar from the other cask drinks that they put out.
It's very different. It's very different than past releases. The past releases were more the brick to the face. This is, you know, more subdued, more laid back, more layered. It's very floral.
Yeah. 2014 is still my favorite of all the years.
It's very floral. There's a lot of bright fruit in here. And on the palate. Mm. See, I'm with you. That's the thing I like about it, is it tastes like it smells. And not whiskeys don't always do that. Sometimes they taste completely different. And sometimes they taste kind of like what they smell. This is like everything you smell.
What you smell is what you taste.
That's distilled into that glass.
And we've had stuff today that what you smell and what you taste are completely different. They didn't match up at all.
That's when you nose that, you're getting exactly what you're smelling. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really interesting release. I thought it was a really good release. I think it's a definite left turn from what they've always done. But at the same token, that's fine too. I think they did a really good job.
They make left turn lanes, you know.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, overall, I thought it was well put together. So we're going to give the Angel's Envy Cask Strength Bourbon 2023 release. And yeah, I know it's real late. We got a backlog, you know. They keep putting out too many cigar shows, Justin. So, but we're going to give the Angel's Envy Cask Strength Bourbon 23 release a well-deserved four sips.
that's classified.
Well, Bob, tell us about our next whiskey.
So that's going to take us to the Angel's Envy Cask Strength Rye, so which is unusual in the fact that this is the first ever limited edition cask strength rye. So they've always done the limited edition cask strength bourbon, but this is the first release of the rye. It's a blend of two separate batches of MGP 95.5. Aged between 5 and 7 years. One batch was matured in Sauternes wine cask for 3 years, and then the other was aged in a combination of American and French toasted oak barrels for 6 months. It's 57.2% ABV, so the color on it, it's, honestly, I think it's surprisingly dark for what it is. It's you know, it's more of a brownish bronze to it.
It's definitely darker than the bourbon.
Yeah. On the nose, the Sauternes definitely leaps out. You're definitely getting that wine note on the nose. It's flowers, sweetness, a little bit of honeysuckle. And on the palate, on the palate, there's definitely a sweetness there. There's also a little bit of an astringency. A little bit of dryness on the front of the palate. I definitely get some old, I get some kind of dusty oak on the back palate. It's got a good mouth coat for me. I mean, it goes front, back, side to side. Thing is I would never pick it out as an MGP rye.
Never, ever would you say this is...
No, it doesn't taste like MGP.
Absolutely does. And that's the one thing I was like, you would never... One thing I wrote down, you would never pick this out as a rye individually.
Mm-hmm.
Just from how it is. So they've really...
But the Angel's Envy rye doesn't taste like a traditional rye anyway.
There's a pepper note to it, but it's not... It's nowhere near your traditional rye. But like Maury said, the Angel's Envy rye isn't your traditional, the regular Angel's Envy rye is not your traditional rye. And honestly, out of the regular Angel's Envy and, you know, the two regular, the bourbon and the rye, I always liked the rye better. That was always my choice. That flavor profile always met with me. But this one is very different. And, you know, it's their first shot at the cask strength, you know, limited release. And I think it's delicious. What did you think, Brent?
Yeah, on the nose, I got this like a cream soda, some black tea, and that floral notes that you say there are there. Big floral notes.
The tea, I miss that. The tea is definitely there.
On the palate, I get that baking spice and leather, but it doesn't come out as you think that. Oh, those match up with the rye, but it doesn't match up with the rye. So I think the other, you know, cast that they use to age it in and stuff really helped this one a lot. Mm. You know, as far as changing the, you know, taking it from that 95.5 that you're so used to and making it cask strength. And again, it doesn't drink like cask strength.
No.
So you'll be fooled by this one, but it doesn't take anything away from it. It's still really enjoyable.
That rye spice is not so much there. Is more of like a almost a creamy white pepper.
I'm going to be a little contrary and say gingerbread. For me, it was all gingerbread. It was like a gingerbread latte. I just got gingerbread on the front, back, and middle.
Tell me what you're talking about.
So to me, this tastes like a 95.5. MGP rye that someone aged in Sauternes barrels for a while, so it made it a rye you could have.
You cheated. You read the description.
Made it like a rye you could have with creme brulee or something like that, and that it would contrast well, or rice pudding with cinnamon, and I really liked it.
So you completely missed. I was setting you up. It's like, tell Maury's wrong, and what'd you do? No, you just started describing it. It's like, you had your shot. Yeah, just shut. Yeah, it was your. Yeah, he always does it to you.
Audience already knows he's wrong. Yeah. They don't need my help.
Well, that's true. Yeah, whatever. Audience, you mean people listen to us?
At least four.
Two, three. Four.
Yeah, okay.
Is it
four.
Editor?
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah. Okay.
It's at least four.
Okay. Maybe five on a good day. So
maybe.
I this was definitely an interesting one. I found this one very different, very interesting. So.
Totally different than any of the other previous releases.
Well, they've never had a previous release of rye.
Well, than their previous rye. It's their first cast strength, but it's different than their regular rye. It's different than the cast strength bourbon.
Well, their regular rye is, the reason I like it is it still had the rye underneath, but it had almost a candy note on top.
Correct, because it was finished in those Caribbean rum barrels.
That were Plantation XO. Yeah, it was cognac and then rum. So yeah, that was cool. Yeah. But that was the thing that I always liked about it. But this is different, and I kind of dig it. I enjoyed it. So we're going to give the Angel's Envy Cask Strength Rye 2023 release a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
Yahoo. So that's going to take us to our last release. So Maury, tell us about that one.
Well, if you insist. The last release is the Remus Gatsby Reserve 2023 release, 49.95% ABV or 58.1% proof. The Remus Family Reserve 2023 edition.
49.05.
Oh, I didn't bring my glasses today. 05.
Just wake up.
I'm awake. It's a little blurry after a few ounces.
That's understandable.
It's the second release in the annual series to celebrate F. Scott Fitzgerald's legendary novel, The Great Gatsby.
Do you need me to get you one of those like special magnifying things so you can read the menu, Grandpa?
I borrow friend's cheaters. Oh, that's much better. You know, three shots is a pair of cheaters.
Mercy.
Goes a long
Thanks
way.
For joining us.
Okay, crafted by master distiller Ian Dersman and the team at Ross and Squibb Distillery, Remus Gatsby Reserve contains some of the 175-year-old Lawrenceburg, Indiana distillery's finest 15-year-old reserves. Straight bourbon whiskey. Stop it. The 2023 release features
not that funny.
Two bourbon mash bills, 75 corn, 21% rye, 4% Marley malt, and 60% corn, 36% rye,
malt.
And 4% barley malt. And is offered at cask strength. The whiskey has a beautiful mahogany color on the nose. You get some caramel, some candy dark fruit, some saddle leather, and a hint of brown sugar with a candied note. On the palate, there's definitely caramel, oak, dark fruit, raisins, char, and brown sugar. I found the finish to be relatively short to medium with notes of saddle leather, cherry, and oak. I thought it was a very nice whiskey, but honestly, from the stuff I'm used to having from Remus, I've had much better in the past. This was not my favorite offering from them. Although it's well made, I think they can do better. Brent, what'd you think?
Well, they also didn't like your reading, so you know you guys are eating. Good Lord. Marley malt?
Yeah, man. Marley malt. Cool Runnings. Go ahead, Brent.
I know. So, yes, this one, the candy dark fruit there on the nose, you get that with that leather. Really comes through on the palate. Really dark fruit looks like toasted. That's the best way to describe it. You know, charred,
Stoody,
the raisins, and the finish, a nice lingering finish. This is different than the other Remus offerings we've had. I didn't like this one as much. That's not saying it's bad. It's just saying that I like the other ones better. So. Justin?
I just keep thinking of a old 80s band, Stewie Stewa. Oh, baby. That's all I'm thinking. But,
what the hell are
what
you talking
was
about?
That?
Louie Louie. But compared to this song. So I got caramel, dark fruit. It was sweet on the palate. It tried to be spicy on the finish, but didn't quite make it there. And it ended quick. and water and air didn't change it. Thank you.
All right. Well, not much I can add to that rambling mess from you three. So we're going to give the Remus Gatsby Reserve a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
Under protest. We agreed to 2.
No, we didn't. What the hell are you talking about?
We wake agreed up. On 2.
Wake up.
I've been up. We no, agreed on 2.
Are you awake? No, I don't think so.
Did anybody here give it a 3?
Yeah. I think we know the title of the show has got to be We Agreed on 2.
I think the title of the show is Somebody's Asleep. So
somebody has not slept in days.
Well, that's all the time we have for today because Maury's got to go take a nap. Thank you, Brent.
Oh, it was a pleasure today.
We're skipping Maury because he's already asleep.
It was so peaceful without our meat today.
Hey, thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Bob. Pleasure to be here in the basement.
We're Sip, Subs, and Smokes. This is Madman Bob. Thanks for joining us. We're going to go tuck Maury in before he passes out on us. Life's too short to drink bad whiskey.
Oh, gosh.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time. We'll be right back.
ready to go for the flow. So